We're also tracking this week's negotiations in Paris over climate change. To find out how the talks might affect your own life, you could look in your pantry. A warning: climate change will likely affect things you eat, from cheese to chocolate. That's why some food companies argue for action on climate change. Here's NPR's Dan Charles.
Molly Brown spent years working at NASA, using satellites to monitor the globe's grain fields and vegetable plots, figuring out how weather patterns affect food production. She's now a researcher at the University of Maryland, and she's using some of what she learned to make very educated guesses about what will happen to those fields in the future.
It's very clear now that a changing climate will have a profound effect on agriculture.
Take one simple example, she says. Look at Vermont. Farmers there used to count on being able to plant corn in May. But weather patterns are shifting. Now, farmers are looking at miserably cold and rainy weather in May.
So they're really not able to plant their corn until the middle of June, which delays its harvest, then might have an early frost.
The result is not much corn for Vermont's cows and less local milk for the state's dairies.
And it really changes the entire economic structure of how dairy products are produced in Vermont.
This kind of thing is happening all over the world. In Ethiopia, part of the country, a traditional center of farming now isn't getting enough rain to grow crops. Meanwhile, rain is falling in another region, in the northern part of the country, where a few people live because it always used to be really dry.
So the question is, do people move up north? Can they simply move the way they farm to that new region?
Most farmers, whether they're in Vermont or Ethiopia, can't really see the big global patterns that add up to a changing climate. They certainly can't change what's happening. But there are some big multinational companies that do see it, because they buy shiploads of farm products from all over the world. For instance, a company like Mars, the maker of Mars bars and M&Ms, Snickers and Skittles. Barry Parkin is the company's chief sustainability officer.
It's absolutely a threat, and that's why we're doing all the things we're doing today.
To get into the corporate headquarters of Mars in McLean, Virginia, you have to navigate past a distractingly tempting array of chocolate. Chocolate, of course, comes from cocoa trees, most of them in West Africa, where it's hot and humid. But it may not stay that way.
Most of the models will say that it's going to get drier in West Africa, and that's not good for cocoa.
And cocoa is just one of the 100 or so agricultural commodities that Mars needs for its food and pet food products. Now, Parkin says he's confident the company will still be able to get all the ingredients it needs.
I'm less worried about that. We will find most of the crops we need to find, but maybe in different places. I'm more concerned about the farmers.
The farmers who depend on that cocoa harvest, for instance. Parkin says his company is looking for ways to help those farmers get through this. The strategy, he says, is just to help those farmers become more productive now. Mars is providing better cocoa trees, fertilizer, and training. It puts money in the farmers' pockets.
And that gives them a level of resiliency. No longer does, you know, one bad harvest cripple them.
This is the part of the company's strategy that's aimed at getting ready for a changing climate, adapting to it. But because Mars is so aware that adaptation is costly and painful, it's also trying to keep the situation from getting worse. It starts with reducing the company's own greenhouse gas emissions.
We set our first goals in 2009. For what we need to do as a company to reduce our impact on the planet.
Parkin says his company's emissions of climate warming gases will be down 25% this year compared to 8 years ago. Mars is planning to be carbon neutral, not contributing to the warming of the planet at all by 2040. And last month, Mars joined with 9 other global food companies, including General Mills, Unilever, and Nestle, and released a letter calling climate change a threat to the world's food supply. They endorsed policies that would limit the planet's temperature increase to no more than 2 degrees Celsius.
What those companies are doing is coming together to encourage government and basically saying to government, we need you to make the same sort of commitments.
Those companies have representatives in Paris, too, lobbying for an agreement to put the brakes on a warming climate, to protect their suppliers and their own businesses. Dan Charles, NPR News.